Hey everybody, Stu Smith here and Jeff Nichols with another Tactical Fitness Report. And today we're going to just talk a little bit about the current situation, not go into quarantine and everything closed and all that too much, but mainly just talk about what it is causing us to do as, you know, athletes and trainers. And what I want to compare it to a lot is deloading phases. So in the past, I have always had a deload phase, whether it was a change of season, it was a trip that I had to do, and maybe I couldn't train as hard on that trip. Maybe it was a deployment. Maybe it was a pool closure or a gym closure or something like that, that, you know, they were cleaning the pool for a while. So what I always tried to do is when these things are about to occur, is I set up my training to realize that, hey, I'm going to have some dead time here on the back end. So I'm going to really push myself up until that point and then actively pursue recovery and do a deload phase. Right. So that's kind of where we are now. It's just not necessarily a planned one. So how do we go into an unplanned deloading phase, and what are some things that we can work on to get better, even though we're not doing what we're used to do because we can't have access to all the same equipment?
Right. So. Yeah, it's interesting enough, I kind of make this opportunity in a similar way to akin to what happened, at least happened to us, probably the same with you guys in second phase. Well, I'm not sure. Like when I went through second phase, it only been like a year removed when second phase bought all that hammer strength equipment, the ground-based stuff. We started doing weight training in second phase. I'm bringing this up just because I know we're saying we're not weight training, but point is this, is that going into second phase, spending all that time underwater, right? It's offloading gravity.
On plus oxygen.
Plus O2 and some things. And so you actually get these guys that three were post pool comp. Like those are the biggest, healthiest guys and buds. They're like, oh my God, second phase guys look healthy. They're big. They're strong.
Absolutely.
And it's, if you look at why, look what happened. We brought some of the volume down a little bit because the volume has to happen because we're underwater. Right. So there's more of that. Like there's healing that's going on, the pure O2. So basically we created what's called super compensation. Yep. Right? Your body is so overtrained from first phase and hell week. You come into second phase by what you're being taught. There's less work volume. The body compensates. It compensates from all its previous work. It actually heals, which is strange. Sure. So your run times really improve in second phase post pool comp because you get kind of healthy. You spend so much time underwater breathing pure O2. So coming back around like that, that's what, guys, we know you guys are training extremely, extremely hard and have been. If you're following my programs or Stu's or both or whatever combination of, we know you're working hard. What you're going to find out, probably many of you are probably like, oh my God, I want to work out harder right now. Yes, because you've just given yourself like 12 days of healing, right? Just because of this madness, like you have to heal. Of course, now you really want to train. So what do? My opinion, just kind of what we're saying, is you now focus on the things that probably are less sexy. But I'm telling you right now, this is part, like, kind of the only people I think that this kind of goes against is those of you that are 28, 29, trying to get a waiver. Outside of that, that's the only group that I think that this really negatively impacts.
Yes,
the rest absolutely. Of you are like, hey, great, man. Like, you're going to come out of this. We're all going to come out of this way healthier and stronger. So that's my opinion.
Yeah, I would say, you know, take advantage of the time. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of people that were leaving, you know, our training area, our group in March. They've been delayed till May. Some have been delayed until July. So it's just more months to train. Now there's a good way and a bad way to go about doing that. You got all this time, so now you're increasing the volume so much that now you start breaking. You know, that's not what we're trying to say. That's what you need to do. We're trying to say you can add some volume. You can take out the volume, especially if you needed to take out the volume. So there's several ways to deload. one, just change what you're doing. So if you were in a lifting phase, now you're going into a calisthenic phase. That is a form of a deload, right? You're taking off the weight, adding more reps, the volume increases, but it's different. You know, so you're kind of changing energy systems. You're doing a whole lot of different changes there. That is a form of a deload. When it comes to running, you know, obviously running volume, when that decreases, that is a form of a deload, but you can also add some variety to that and add some sprints, you know, add some agility work, add some goal pace, you know, tempo runs, you know, so there's a variety of different ways that you can make changes. But I think one of the most important things we can do is really figure out, take your time with your workouts. Don't be in a rush to get, let's say if you're doing a MRF, don't be in a rush to get it done in 30 minutes. Take your time and do every rep perfectly for an hour, hour and a half. You know, just take your time and do it. You know, no need to, you know, do a crappy bunch of sets of push-ups and squats when you can go and get really deep ones. Mix in, you know, variety.
I think like when I'm training the actual tactical operation, I bet you do this too, Stu, is that, and I know you've seen it, we've done it in person, but we make comparisons like, okay, how do we want your reps to look like in the weight room right now? I say, I want your reps to look like if you're a police officer or military or whatever, and you're in a pistol range, you're 9 feet, 9 to 10 feet from your target, you're at a table. You walk up on the table, your gun is safely unloaded, your magazine is safely filled, and you have one rule. You have 15 rounds in your magazine, don't miss the black. Well, okay, what else are my rules? There are no rules other than getting a good shooting stance, right? Good, a good presentation, good trigger squeeze, bang, good reps. We're looking at quality of reps will always outperform quantity of reps on the range as well as in the weight room.
Absolutely.
So the expectation of precision on the range, Stu and I expect that precision in the weight room or in the resistance environment, in the track. Like that is what we're asking of you right now. Work on skill acquisition within this difficult work. You can, yes. Am I saying doing push-ups infinitely is the best idea? No. But the fatigue from the push-ups, pull-ups, run, swim, in modified gear, we can still create fatigue. And within that fatigue, we can still perform well. That's skill acquisition. Don't slop. Now's the time to go, okay, listen, what a beautiful thing. We actually kind of have some time to work on. And now you're going to answer some of these questions like, Jeff, like, how do I improve mobility? Well, if you work through all these skills right now to the best of your ability, slow down, improve your range of motion, it will then transfer into your training when we're able to get the throttle back up. So focus on your movements, folks.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. So let's compare this to some of our things that we've done in the past. You know, you're stationed at your team area, right? You got all the equipment and everything that you need, and now you're about to go on a 3-week deployment where there's no equipment other than some calisthenics, and maybe somebody figured out a way to bring a bar and you can do pull-ups somewhere.
Yep.
Or just carry equipment around and, you know, do stuff like that. How have you had some of those times when it was considered, you can kind of psychologically call it a deloading phase, but it's actually now you're just trying to squeeze in some, you know, physical activity at the end of a long work day. So whether you're deployed on a ship and you got nothing, or you are deployed at a FOB somewhere and you got minimal equipment, what are some of the things you've done in the past?
Yeah, I kind of approach it two ways, especially with such a little equipment. Either, you know, some places you have more equipment, some days you're more motivated. It's kind of, I get one of a couple people, essentially. I get, if you get the Jeff attitude of, sometimes I just really like, especially on a nice day, I was in the Philippines stationed there for 17 weeks in the jungle, no running water, no electricity, nothing. So minimal equipment, right? We fashioned a pull-up bar, we used straps, like we did what we could, right? And in part, it became its own sense of joy, because what we did is this, it's like looking at time under tension. It's like, I'm not going to do an hour straight of physical, of like push-up, pull-up setups. I'm not. So what I did is we broke it up. We did like a morning PT session and an evening PT session when it was the nicest.
Yeah. Just
20 minutes, like may consist of hill runs one in the morning, in the afternoon, short PT. And so it's like this is kind of one of those things that I just tell people to kind of get back to being a kid and athletic. Like that's right. We're not asking anyone to do this for years. Like this is a good supplement to get in there, try something different. And that's the thing too, is here's the double-edged sword is it better to use total like resistance equipment to develop strength, power, and speed? Yes, it is. We know that. But if you're doing the calisthenics properly, okay, especially from range of motion type stuff, it will improve your resistance training when you get back to it. Like it will. Yeah. It's like fins. It's yep. Like for those of you that have put fins on and go, oh my God, like, wow, now I can feel this propulsion. Aha. You take the fins off. Even if you're a decent swimmer, you're like, man, I don't feel like I'm going anywhere. So that's kind of what bars and bands and suspension trainers do. It's like, oh, like this, I need this more because the other stuff just isn't quite fulfilling it. So, right. But now is it like, when's the last time anyone's ever said, don't do anything, but use your imagination for the next 2 months and find different ways to train and move. This is no different really than, oh, this is the first time anyone's been in a weight room. For that person, first 2 months are all new.
Yeah, so that's true.
Get back to what you were. Get back to being athletic, right? And that's the thing, is it might just be like a challenge for people to do yoga. That's why I told people, it's like, pick one day this month, this week, each week, to go to YouTube, find a yoga channel, and do a 30 to 60 minute yoga session. Like, I bet many of you, right, especially for you in law enforcement and fire and that spend a lot of time seated because of the job, right, and sitting in body armor on surveillance, you know, now go do a 30-minute yoga session on YouTube. I bet you it's not going to be easy.
I like that idea. That's a great one.
There's an option. There's one day of work right there. Do a 30 to 60-minute yoga session from YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. One thing I like to do is, especially in when we transition out of weights, and we kind of go into our spring calisthenic running progression phase, which is where we are now anyway. So it was kind of a timely shutdown of our gym facilities. It just forced us to go into this transition just a few weeks earlier. So it's not really that big a deal. But the one way to make that transition a little more similar to the way I normally do it, with kind of a 50-50 split of weights and calisthenics and decreasing weight but increasing reps and adding some calisthenics to it, is add a weight vest to your calisthenics. So now, or a TRX, and you've made your, or both, and you've made yourself kind of like this weighted calisthenics, just a little bit additional resistance training that you're kind of used to. So that's a good option for you.
Especially coming off the weights like you guys are. Absolutely.
Yeah, if you don't want to completely go off the heavier resistance stuff yet into higher repetitions, add some weight and go into the calisthenic phase with your standard pyramids and supersets, and you know, go for a long ruck one day, you know, just get outside and fresh air when you can. Try to stay away from large groups. That's one thing that we're doing now, is trying to break up everybody into different portions of our area, so we're not all together. So got a group running, got a group doing calisthenics, and they're spread out and over a mile of pull-up bars and stuff. And you know, you just got to get creative, and it's fun. I'm actually kind of having fun with the whole process of having to think a little more. And when you do that, you may find that you find some holes in what you were doing. And you can kind of, you know, with that, some added thought and some clarity, you can actually fix some of those holes and add that mobility session at the end of the day when needed, stuff like that. So.
Yeah. I always say too, like on that, I would be willing to bet that there is a percentage of people that go into boot camp for sure, maybe not quite so into buds, but it's definitely still overtraining like that. And so keep this in mind, like I think many of you are going to experience that you have been overtrained. This is going to show you that, like, oh my God, like, you're going to heal and you're going to be so much faster, stronger, better. And so in that sense of like, okay, well, this is one of the few, I can't think of any opportunity. Maybe this is maybe the wrong group we're talking to, because the police, law enforcement, and civil servants. What I was going to say was, I don't remember the last time that globally the world was like, stay at home, get some sleep. This is not the case for military, law enforcement, and fire right now, unfortunately. Yeah. But for those of you that are not first responders and you have all this free time, the guys are training for selection, now is the time to focus on sleep and recovery. True, as well. It's like,
absolutely.
What you don't have this opportunity as much as I know, listen, I get it. Like, here's the double-edged sword too, is for many of you may not have jobs to go back to. Like, I get that. I totally get that. So it's like, well, Jeff, I'm super stressed out. How can I focus on my sleep? I get that as well. But for those of you that are able to find some comfort in all of this madness, catch up on your sleep. Work on that. Like, this is an opportunity to work on your sleep and get some naps. Catch up on sleep, heal right now. Especially since, like, we are dealing with a global virus. What better thing to do than sleep and heal?
Yeah, it's going to help your immune system anyway. Because one thing that overtraining does is it wrecks your immune system.
You betcha.
So you're going to be more susceptible to colds, viruses, whatever. So take that part. Definitely take it seriously. But yeah, you know, deloads are actually, you know, the more you do them in a year, you know, the better off you will see your results, especially when you're doing things like very heavy weights, you know, a deload week on a very heavy weight. I remember when I first discovered what a deload was, and this was before I was reading about deloads. I was probably middle teenage years, and I'd been lifting hard. I was very excited about lifting. I was probably overdoing it a little bit, and then had to go on a trip with my family for a week to see relatives, and then I came back and I was shocked that I was stronger significantly in all the old lifts that I had been doing, you know, for months before. And then I started putting those, you know, that little easy week into my training just from that one experience. And I didn't even read about what a deload was for years later.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that makes sense.
Right.
But it was a great thing. So whether you have those access to weights or not, you can still apply the same system and way of thinking to calisthenics and your running and your other cardio activities, especially if you're doing some really high intensity type training. That deload's going to come in real handy for you.
Got it.
So take advantage.
Yeah, but I agree. I think that I understand everyone's super stressed out about, like, oh my God, what am I doing with training? But the vast majority of you all that are training for selection, like, we know the breed. Many of you are, even with our programs, there's some purposeful overtraining in it, like stimulus purposely, right?
Sure.
So for those of you, again, if you're following my or Stu's programs or a combination of them, I can assure you that you are not going to lose your gains through all this. You won't. You're just not. It's quality programming that the stimulus that Stu and I are giving you all is, if you're giving your appropriating yourself enough rest periods, you're going to adapt positively, not overtrain too much unless we're planning it. And it's planned in some of my programs for a week at a time. Right? It's to do this is to create an abundance of stress. And then the week or so after it, you'll see my volume drops.
Yeah.
To do just this is to create that compensation.
Absolutely.
So let this be, just as Stu said, something that we didn't plan on this deload, but we're going to use it as such.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And like I said, actively pursue recovery. You know, whenever you can, that means eating healthy and sleeping more. That's going to cover you for most of it, but then get in that extra mobility session.
Yep. You know,
that's going to make you feel a lot better too. And the more you can come out of this with less pain, the better, whenever you start back up again. Yeah, I'd be real interested to see, you know, I know all the Navy PSTs have been shut down for the last week or so. I'd be real interested to see, you know, for those of you who are kind of taking advantage of this deload phase, your next PST scores and how they look. You know, if you've had to, if you've had the luxury of being able to run and keep up your cardio, but out, not running too much, but focusing on good running, good fast running, stay on your progression, you know, your weekly progression. The last thing you want to do with all this time is double your running.
Oh, it's a bad day.
You know, because that's just, if you double your running in a week, next thing you know, in a few weeks, you're just, you're going to be shot.
You'll be worse off than when you start. And now's not the time to be, especially, like I said, worse off is not, now is not the time to be worse off physically.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you start taking those PSTs again, I'd be real interested to see, you know, some of the improvement during this 2 weeks, you know, especially if you were in one of those districts that were taking PSTs every week.
You know, I would, just like you said, if those individuals are able to do some regular daily PT, not terribly intense, not doubling anything, not increasing the work volume, but actually decreasing it from those weekly PSTs, I would put large, large sums of money on the fact that those people will see dramatic improvements.
That'd be nice. It'd be nice to see people come back, take advantage of this, take it back. Because I know there's also going to be a group of people that have done nothing.
Oh, yeah.
And completely detrain. There's a difference between deloading and detraining. and you come in detrained, your scores are going to just be sucking. If you're sitting there playing video games and watching Netflix all day, you know, that is not a deload phase.
No.
Yeah.
No, maybe for 12 to 24 hours, you picked a day that you're going to do nothing. That's great. Other than that.
Yeah.
Not so much, but yeah. So I think guys, we're trying to figure this all out as you are, you know, I get it like from weight equipment to food, to timing, to all this stuff, to like, what do? We're figuring out with you. And all we're doing is trying to share with you guys what we might do based off of our previous experiences. You know, we're figuring this out. This is new.
Yep.
We'll keep you updated.
So just so there's clarity here, a deload phase is typically, I mean, for me, it's typically one of three things. It is, I'm changing the weight and decreasing my weight. I am decreasing my volume, whether that's volumes of repetitions or it's volume of mileage, and I'm just changing it up. So instead of lifting altogether, I'm going into calisthenics.
Yep.
So those three options there are pretty much central into my seasonal periodization training. So each phase is kind of a transition from a focus on a certain element of fitness into the next element of fitness. And there's a little transition there. And that little transition is really kind of that deload phase as you start to ramp up into the next process. So.
Yep. Yeah, no, this is the time for you guys also just, again, get a survey of what you've been doing. That's it. Now is the time to continue to kind of take notes and see how you feel to compare, right? Now is the time you're going to feel, right? Many of you are going to feel let down because you don't have the opportunity to train. That's fine. But focus on how you feel right now. You're going to notice, you're like, oh my God, I feel better. Right? Probably. Like,
yeah.
Use this time. Use it. Right? It's not wasted time unless you waste time.
That is true. All right. So everybody, I think we've kind of beat you up a little bit on the deload phase here. We'll come back and do something else again here in the next few days. But if anybody has a question on where to find Jeff Nichols, one, you can find him on social media, but his website is performancefirstus.com. Mine's stusmithfitness.com. Check him out. I'll put links into the description below of this YouTube video, and let us know if you have any questions. If you have topics.
Yeah, now's the time to get us good topics.
Yeah, send us some questions and topics, and we'll answer them. So,
there you go.
Jeff, as always, thank you so much for joining me, and until next time.
You betcha, Steve. We'll do it again.